Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Christian friends, ladies and gentlemen around the world, especially here in the United States of America. We're especially glad to have you on tonight, for once again, we are back with the global radio broadcast of the Church of Christ. We are most appreciative to our brethren here in the United States, the Daring Loop Congregation of the Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA, who makes it possible by financially sponsoring this broadcast every week on Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. On Tuesday at 7:30 Central Standard Time, and on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight is our regular broadcast for the Gospel of Jesus Christ. However, you may be live with us on this call tonight, and if you have a question or would like to ask a question or make a Bible commentary about anything that we're speaking, all we ask you to do is to interrupt Brother Williams or whoever, whichever one of us ministers are speaking. Just interrupt us and let us know that you have a question. Now, we usually have a moderator, Brother Brian Brown. I trust that he's available tonight. If so, you want to push number one on your telephone.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Thank you, Brother Brown. Push number one on your telephone keypad, and Brother Brown will cue you into the call to ask your question. And we want to just mention also that we appreciate Brother Brown for his diligence, his faithfulness in moderating our program two nights a week. He is a member, faithful member of the Church of Christ on West Ward Street in Texas City, Texas, USA. Matter of fact, all of the ministers who are also a part of this broadcast, we are ministers of the Church of Christ, the global, worldwide Church of Christ, the spiritual church that Jesus built, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And we note, and we like to let you know, that there is no one else in the Bible who ever said they would build a church. And the church that Christ built is named after him. He's the owner. He's the builder. He is the purchaser. He is the husband. He is the head. He is the savior of his church. So it just stands to reason, sound doctrine and common sense, wisdom, that his church wears his name. In the scriptures, in Romans 16:16, it is called and referred to as the Church of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it's referred to as the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22, both references are used. He is the head of the church, which is his body. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, same thing. He is the head of the church, which is his body. He's also the king of the kingdom, which is, and as members of the Church of Christ, we have been transferred out of the kingdom of sin and eternal damnation, the kingdom of Satan, and have been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is his church, by baptism according to faith in the gospel of Christ. And that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 19. And so we teach the doctrine of Christ, which produces Christians or children of Christ, who is God, our Savior, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. We are children of God through obedience to the gospel of Christ by faith. Because as many of us who were baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. So we have spiritual clothing. What is the spiritual clothing? The righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed in his sacrificial death for the cleansing of our sins. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel have been cleansed from our sins. Those who have not been cleansed. Those who are not members of the Church of Christ are not saved. They're not in the right church. And so as ministers of Christ, we are minister to the churches of Christ in our respective community. Now, let me just give you a credit list for that. We have Brother Lewis Parker Jr., who is a minister of the Church of Christ in Dickinson, Texas, USA. And we also have Brother Lewis Parker IV, one of his twin sons, who is the minister of the Sugar Land Church of Christ on Voss Road in Sugar Land, Texas, USA. We also have a contributing preacher, minister, Brother Donald Kegler, minister of the AD 33 Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA. We have my co-minister, Brother James Johnson, of the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. And we have myself, yours truly, Brother Leroy Williams, co-minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. And we have other faithful ministers of Christ who from time to time will be contributors and panelists on our radio broadcast. In the past, we've had Brother Horace Robbins, who is the minister of the Brookshire Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, USA. And so we just want to welcome any or all of my fellow ministers who are on this broadcast. We want to encourage and send a word of encouragement to all of the faithful preachers and evangelists and ministers of the Church of Christ worldwide. The Church of Christ is all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. And this gospel broadcast tonight is being broadcast to nations around the world in their own language by way of the Internet. This program is both on the radio airwaves out of New York, which covers a pretty good portion of the west side of the United States, west side of the world. But then we have the Internet broadcast in the other countries far and east of the United States of America. So the races, nations, and ethnic groups of the world have access to this radio broadcast as they deem necessary or as they see fit. We are fulfilling the commandment and direction of the Lord Savior, our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, who in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, says to his faithful disciples and ministers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's everybody, every race, every ethnicity, every country, every place. Preach the gospel to them and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe the doctrine of commandments that I have commanded you. You see, we are to preach the gospel to every person. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized for the remission of his sins shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on May the 28th, A.D. 33, in the city of Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost, the annual day of atonement for Jews who believed in the law of Moses and practiced, which that was the day they came from near and far to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, to be blessed by the forgiveness of sins offered through the law of Moses. They brought a blood sacrifice, and the high priest was supposed to go into the Holy of Holies with blood, a offering for the sins of the nation, the entire Jewish nation. And they had to do it in Jerusalem. So they had to come to Jerusalem that one time a year. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, around verse number 7, 8, and 9, there were Jews and proselytes and religious men from all over the world, from all the known areas of the world. There were Jews out of every nation in Jerusalem that day. Thank God. Thank God. Because God decided on the day of Pentecost to declare and to announce his global, his worldwide kingdom and gospel of salvation through the 12 apostles whom he had appointed. Somebody say, well, Brother Williams, he appointed Judas, but Judas hung himself. He's dead. Well, if you read Acts chapter 1, you'll find out that he also appointed another apostle in the place of Judas. They prayed about two disciples who had been with Christ and followed after him in his ministry for 3 years. And out of those two, Matthias and Barnabas, they chose Matthias. Well, how did they choose it? Well, they prayed to the Lord Jesus, and they said, tell us which of these should take the bishopric of the Judas who killed himself. And they, when they got through praying, they took a vote, and it was unanimous. Matthias, the Holy Spirit of Christ, revealed that to them. Just read your Bible. Acts chapter 1, read around verse number 11 all the way through about verse 20, and you'll see it. It's in there. So all of the disciples, the apostles, were chosen by Christ, and their names are mentioned in the Bible. And they preached the first gospel sermon ever preached in the whole world on the day of Pentecost in A.D. 33 in the city of Jerusalem. That was the beginning of the Church of Christ. Now, as we teach tonight, and as we're saying, we want you to make a note of these things because the Bible backs them up. See, Christ has the Bible. He has the Word of God. And we, as ministers of Christ, we have the Bible, the revelation of God, to tell you what Christ's church is, where it is, how you can be a member of it, how you can be saved. It's all in the Bible. When it was founded, where it was founded, who founded it, what is the foundation, how can one be a member of it? Everything is in the Bible. And so we preach the Bible doctrine of the Church of Christ. Now, we also offer a challenge to our radio audience tonight. If you have been exposed to religious doctrine and religious teaching, and you are currently worshiping in a religious faith, a religious church that is not mentioned or even written of in the Bible and does not wear the name Church of Christ, we want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that unless you become a member of a New Testament Church of Christ, the one written in the Bible, you have not been saved. You are worshiping and following false religion, and your religious activity and efforts are in vain. They cannot save you because you have not obeyed the truth. Jesus says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, set me free from what? From my sin and the consequence of my sin, which is condemnation in eternal hell. That's what the truth will do, because when you obey the truth, not when you hear it, not when you believe it is true, but when you obey the truth, then you are freed from your sin. And the obedience of the truth is just what the apostles said when the church began on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive God's gift, the gift of God, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal of recognition that we are the children of God. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, it's the seal. You can also find that in Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God, every obedient believer. Now, this happened on the day of Pentecost because we know that over 3,000 adults believed, received, and obeyed the gospel. Well, how did they do that, Brother Williams? Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And they that gladly received the apostles' word, the word of God, were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were tied." They were saved that day. Do you know that baptism saves? Well, there are religious doctrines that teach that water baptism has no value. It has no consequential or importance or necessity for one to be saved. That's taught to billions, if not hundreds of millions of people every day and every week. And many denominational and false teachers don't even teach baptism at all. They totally ignore it. But it is a direct command of the Lord and Savior, the God of all creation, the head of the spiritual church of salvation, Jesus Christ. He commanded it. So what are the false teachers telling you in their attitudes and in their message? That what Jesus say is not important. Jesus' commandments you don't have to follow. You only follow the commandments that you want to. You only follow the things that you want to do. And whatever Jesus says, it doesn't really matter. It's not of any consequence to your soul's salvation. That is blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. You are lying, and they are lying, on the word of God. They are lying on God. They are lying on the scriptures. All of these things are the manifestation and revelation of the great God who created us, who loved us, and who saves us. And that's Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5 and 23, he is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. He is the husband of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he purchased the church when he died on the cross and shed his blood. He purchased the church with his blood. Well, what is the church? The church is not a social group of people, flesh and blood, people having a good time or having a meeting. The church is not a brick and mortar building erected in a community on a corner somewhere that wears a sign, Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, which is saved, which is perfect, which belongs to Christ. Christ is the head and he is God, and God is spirit. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him with their spirit man, according to truth. See, your soul is being baptized into the spiritual church of Christ when you obey the gospel. The gospel was provided, it was authored by Jesus Christ. He is the living word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He is the living word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He is the living word. John chapter 1, verse 1. So Jesus Christ is God, because God is the Word. Jesus Christ is from the beginning. He was here before the beginning of the world and the creation of man. He is God who said, "Let us make man in our own image." And men were made spiritual creatures without sin. But as we know, Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, in the perfect spiritual home, the paradise of God. They sinned, and God cast them out. See, sin can't dwell with God, and God can't tolerate sin in his presence. See, you can't stay in God's house and sin. And we say that to also admonish our brethren in the Church of Christ. If you're sinning and you're unfaithful, which is sin, and you're not repenting of sin, you are not saved in the church of Christ. You're not saved in the spiritual house of God. You are outside the door. You're standing outside, and you are standing in condemnation of eternal hell unless you repent. Every man has to repent and accept God's will in his life. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you have to be baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes the word of God, which says that we who are baptized for the remission of sin are baptized into Christ. Yeah, we baptize into Christ. That's how you put him on. And so, those of us who are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. Why? Because he shed his blood in his death. And we have to get in contact with the blood. Our souls must be washed and cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God for our salvation. He says in verse, therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism. So you want to be buried with Christ. That's why baptism saves. That's why baptism is necessary. You got to be buried with Christ spiritually. Not your body, not your flesh and blood body, but your spirit man, your soul, must be buried in the spiritual grave with Christ, where spiritual life is accessible. Because where Jesus is and where God is, there's eternal life, and there's liberty, freedom, all of our sins, all of our past sins. God forgives all your past sins, and you start out brand new, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden in the beginning, with no sin. And God don't leave you there. Jesus told his disciples, you teach the gospel and you teach them, and I'll be with you till the end of the world. God doesn't leave you there. God comes into your life through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to help you to stay free from sin. If we sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and following, we have an advocate. That is, we have a lawyer to plead our case and he is none other than Jesus Christ the righteous, the man Jesus Christ, the perfect man who became the perfect sacrifice for all our sins. That perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, is before the presence of God in heaven for our behalf. And all we got to do is pray to God as children of God and hide our soul under the blood of Christ. And God will forgive. He will overlook, and he will remove our sins. Not just overlook. He overlooked sins under the Old Testament dispensation, but he didn't remove sin. Why? Because the blood of innocent bulls and goats and calves and turtle doves and sheep, the blood of innocent animals was not sufficient, nor is it able to save man's sin. Only the blood of the perfect man can save and remove man's sin. And that perfect man was Jesus Christ, born in the flesh, dying on the cross, and who was raised from the dead and was translated and is saved in heaven. And the God, Jesus Christ, reigns on his spiritual throne in heaven, reigns and rules as the head of his spiritual church in the heavens. And all of us who have been baptized into Christ, we are situated with him in the heavenly places. That's where the church is. It's in the heavenly places. It's in the spiritual realm because it's spirit. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Some of us, because of our spiritual disobedience, because of our spiritual death due to sin, we are presently in the spiritual realm of hell. And the message of the gospel is to repent and come out of it. Acts chapter 17:30. In the times long ago, in the Old Testament generations, God overlooked sin for a season, for a period. But in these times, he commands every man to repent of his sins and obey the gospel. Every man, see, you can't have, you. There's no excuse for sin in the New Testament revelation and relationship with God, because everyone has to repent of sin and everyone has to live lives of obedience and repentance from evil works, dead works, and sinful life. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you may be practicing faith and obedience and righteousness to no end, using your goodness as your cloak of salvation. But let me have you understand, our righteousness, that is our human righteousness, is no more impressing to God than a pile of filthy, dirty rags. You know what you do with a pile of filthy, dirty rags? If they're very filthy, you burn them up, throw them away. But if they can be cleansed, you wash them. God has decided that the sins of man can be washed away. Acts 22:16, the Apostle Paul rehearsed the matter that his sins were washed away by baptism into Christ. All sins are washed away when one is baptized into Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God says. Now, as your preacher might say, baptism don't save you. It's not essential to salvation. But the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism saves us today. He said that in 64 A.D. This is 2019 A.D. Do you think God's Word is still true today? You better believe it, ladies and gentlemen. the word of God. Jesus say heaven and earth will be long gone. They'll be dissolved and passed away before one mark, I mean one dot over the I, one comma in the sentence, one period after paragraph, one letter on the word, before anything ever changes out of the word of God, man will cease to exist before that ever happens. Do you know if God's word changes, God will cease to exist? If God ceased to exist, so do you and I. Not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. See, the God we serve is everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the beginning and the end. God is omniscient. He knows the end in the beginning because he is that wise, knowing, that knowledgeable. We can't compete with God. Therefore, our human wisdom, our human deeds of goodness and kindness cannot save us. Only the wisdom of the righteousness of God can save us. Every man who is saved will be saved and is saved by grace. Man needs grace. You and I need grace, ladies and gentlemen. We need grace because grace is God's favor. But you can't earn it. That's why doing good deeds ain't going to get it for you. Nope. Anytime you do good deeds and you're not in Christ, it's not going to help you. Now, once you are baptized into Christ, you do godly, obedient work. You obey the commandments of God in order to maintain a righteous relationship with God. But if you just decide, I'm going to go ahead and do all the good that I can think of to do and love everybody, and you haven't obeyed God's commandment to be baptized for the removal of your sin and to receive the grace of the forgiveness of sin, you're wasting your time. And many millions have been told that religious lie. That's a doctrine of the devil. It's not the doctrine of Christ. You won't read about anybody in the New Testament Bible who ever did that. You won't read about anybody in the Old Testament Bible who did that. Faith is belief and obedience to the word, the instructions, and the commandments of God. If God said it, it's the truth. If God said it, you better believe it. If God said it, it's necessary. If God said it, that settles it. No matter what a man says, God's word is the deciding factor. Judgment day is coming for the souls of men, and all of those who are unrighteous will be judged. That means punished. Only those who are righteous will be saved to eternal heaven in glory with Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the faithful who are saved by baptism into Christ will not be judged on the day of judgment. 75% of the populations of mankind from beginning to generation's end have no religious affection and will not serve God. So we know that most people are going to hell. Most souls are going to hell. That's just a statistical fact. You can ask any religious teacher who has knowledge, any religious scholar who has knowledge. You can ask your preacher. If he got knowledge, he'll agree. The majority of men do not serve God. So the majority of men are going to be cast into hell. Their soul will be cast into hell for eternity. But out of those who do serve God, if we don't serve God according to the word of truth, we will also be lost. Because our spiritual name, our spiritual faith, our spiritual doctrine, our spiritual church, none of it is written in the Word of God. The Bible is the revelation of the Word, the will, and the mind of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? is in the Bible. All of God's instructions, not the ones that sound good to you or the ones that you think are necessary. Read all of the New Testament doctrine and follow it. That's our recommendation to you, ladies and gentlemen. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. We recommend Christ. We recommend his church. We recommend his salvation. We recommend his doctrine. We recommend his gospel. We recommend his faith, his circumcision. Baptism is a spiritual circumcision, spiritual mind, the heart of faith of every man. See, we got to obey God from the heart, that is the mind, not the blood pump. That's flesh and blood. You got to obey God from the mind, from the place of reason. God reasons with the mind of men. God reigns in the mind of his disciples. If God is not reigning in your heart, your mind of faith, then you're not a child of God, nor are you obeying God. You can't obey the pastor and be saved. You can't obey the Pope and be saved. You cannot obey the priest or the father as such, or the bishop, as they call it. You have to obey Christ. Christ is the chief bishop. He is the chief shepherd. He is the chief presbyter. He is the chief elder. He is the eternal high priest. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is revealed in Genesis chapter 15 through 18, when he met with Abraham, who was coming back from the slaughter of the king, who had rescued his nephew Lot. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. He was a priest with no known earthly parents and don't even know when he died. He is a allegory of Jesus Christ. No beginning, no end. No father, no mother. He is God. That's what Jesus Christ is. So his priesthood is in the similitude. It is similar, or it is like, of Melchizedek. In other words, Melchizedek has a priesthood that exemplifies Christ's priesthood. That's what it is. And so you want to be a servant of God. You want Jesus to be your high priest. He can save you with his blood, not with the blood of animals, not with your blood. Our blood is messed up. We sin. He can save us with his blood, his innocent blood. That's what you want, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the gospel teaches. That's what the gospel requires if you want to be saved. Only those who are baptized into Christ can be saved. You want to be saved tonight? The Bible has a five-step prescription and a admonition following that. It's quite simple. You got to hear the gospel. You got to believe the gospel. You have to make up your mind to stop sinning. Repent of your sins. If you're worshiping in false religion, repent. Come out of false religion. If you're not worshiping in no church, repent and start worshiping God in the true spiritual church of Jesus Christ. You got to confess faith in Christ. Christ is married to his church, Romans 7 and 4, Ephesians 5, 23 through 27. He is the husband of the church. He is the head of the church. Okay? He is the father of the church. He is the father of the family. We are his children. James chapter 1, 18. He begat us by the powerful word. Who is the powerful word? John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Oh, that's when Jesus was born in the flesh and walked on earth. God in man. 100% God and 100% man. Somebody say, that's impossible, Brother Williams. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for me. But nothing is impossible for God. God did it. I believe it. And the Word of God settles it. The Word of God said that he became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ, the man, is the only man born in the world in flesh who had no fleshly father. He did not. He wasn't produced by no sperm or fleshly seed of man. Born, and he is conceived by the Word of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit gave the Word that we believe. They gave the Word that we preach. And he had a company of holy men to publish it. See, somebody say, well, men wrote the Bible. Not true. God wrote the Bible. God used men to write the Bible the same way you and I write a letter. What do we use? We use a pen and a piece of paper. Is the pen and paper the writer of the letter? No. You wrote the letter. The pen and paper is the tool that you use to write your letter. The pen don't write a letter by itself, and the paper don't write one either. You have to write the letter. The holy men of God wrote as they were instructed and they were inspired. That is, they were given God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit in their heart. See, they were inspired. Inspired means God breathed. That means God said it. That if God said it, it's God's word. Okay? And all Brother Williams do is he preaches. He didn't make it up. He didn't write it. He don't claim no authorship of the word of God. All he do is a preacher of God. See, God uses me like you use a microphone. Use a microphone to cast a loud message so that many people can hear it. That's what you use a microphone for. But the microphone don't do the talking. You do the talking. God does the talking, and I'm just a microphone to broadcast God's message. And you want to be a servant, a obedient servant of God, then you got to obey God. You got to confess Christ as the Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of my soul. I believe that in the power of God. I believe in the commandment of God. I believe in the salvation of God. I believe in the promise of God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Faith is belief and obedience. You got to put some leg on that belief. You got to obey God through faith. If what I do to obey God is not according to the word, the will, and the commandment of God written in the Bible, I am not saved. Because to obey by faith is to obey according to the truth. Obey according to what is written. And the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the seal of God. That's the identification. That lets you and every other person who knows anything about God let them know that we're children of God. God gives us his name. See, I wear the name of Christ because Christ gave it to me, and I'm his son. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't be saved unless you are a child of Christ. That's the only way you can say. You got to wear his name. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. The Lord knoweth those who are his. Let everyone that wears the name of Jesus Christ depart from sin and iniquity. See, you can't wear the name of Christ and live and walk and practice sin. Church of Christ, you can't practice sin and wear the name of Christ. If you start practicing sin, you have disowned Christ as your Father. You disown him, and guess what? He disowned you. All you got to do is repent, though. See, Christ's not going to throw you away. You do that to yourself. Somebody say, oh, Jesus will send you to hell. Nope. Jesus don't send nobody to hell. We go to hell of our own accord. God gives us free moral agency. We have the right to choose which way, heaven or hell. You're not going to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hell. There's only two ways to go. And you got to, again, you can't go both of them at the same time. You can only go one way at one time. But you get to choose it. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for you'll find that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Your burden of sin is heavy. It's so heavy you can't get rid of it. You need help. Jesus Christ is that help. He says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Take it willingly. Whosoever will, you got to want to. If you don't want to, then you're on your way to hell. And by your obedience or disobedience, you determine where you're going. If you don't obey God, that's disobedience. You saying, I'm going to hell. Most of the world's population is saying tonight, I'm going to hell. I'm going straight to hell. I'm not turning around for nothing. I'm on my way, and that's just the way it is. But if you turn around, turn 180 degrees, and go to Christ, Christ said, I'll receive you. I'll save you. I'll give you my name. I'll adopt you. Is that all right? He says, and he ought to adopt you in the sense that people adopt kids in the physical life, in the flesh. That's not the adoption. The adoption is Christ says, I will own you as my son. When? When you obey the gospel. When you are baptized into my spiritual body through faith in the truth. You are born unto me. Baptism is the new birth, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of things been said about the new birth. But the truth is, the new birth is baptism into Christ. Anything else is just a bald-faced, demonic, lying doctrine. That's all it is. Baptism is essential to salvation. Baptism into Christ is essential to salvation. Well, I've been baptized, Brother Williams. What were you baptized into? Well, I baptized in the Baptist church. That's not in Christ. The Baptist church is not in Christ. The Baptist church is not a member of the body of Christ. The Baptist church is not the church that Christ built in 33 A.D. That was established in 33 A.D. It's not that church. The Baptist church didn't show up till 1607. And Christ wasn't the founder of it. He wasn't the beginner of it. It started with a man called John Smith, a man of the country of Holland. It's not even Jerusalem. It's not the right year. It ain't the right founder. It ain't the right builder. It ain't even the right name. Everything about it is wrong. There's no scripture that supports any of it. None of that is written in the Word of God. But you want to know where the Church of Christ, that God is in the Word of God. Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. 19, he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom, speaking to Peter, and you're going to open the door, Peter. Whatever you teach, you're going to teach my word. That's the truth. That's going to be sufficient. Whatever you teach is sin, that's sin, because you're going to get your teaching from me. Whatever I say to you, that's what you're going to preach. You don't need no Bible, Peter. Peter didn't have a Bible. Paul didn't have a Bible. John didn't have a Bible. The Bible was written and began to be written 34 years after the church had begun. And the last book of the Bible was written 60 years after, in 93 A.D., by the Apostle John, who died in 98 A.D. in the city of Ephesus. John was on the Greek island of Patmos, and after he wrote the Revelation and sent it to the churches, sent it to the Church of Christ in Greece, he came back to Greece. He was out there on Patmos under arrest because of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. But he got liberty. He got parole, as we call it today. He got out on probation, and he died in the city of Ephesus. He stayed there for the last 4 years through the great tribulation period that's spoken of in the book of Revelation, which is from June of 94 through December of 97 A.D. 3.5 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is right. The Bible can't be wrong. There are no errors in the Bible. There's no problem of false words and fakes and so forth in the Word of God. But if you're trusting in men, you're going to have a problem, because men's word is not reliable. And man's wisdom cannot save. Pray that those of you who are on the line tonight, who are on the call, who are on the internet, listen to this broadcast, that you will obey the gospel if you have not, that you will repent of your sins and live a faithful life if you are a member of the Church of Christ, and that we'll all die faithful to God and go to heaven. Again, you want to obey the gospel, believe, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Go to the nearest assembly of worship of the Church of Christ in your community where you are. Church of Christ is everywhere. Find out where it is where you live. Go to the worship service on Sunday and give your hand to the minister and your heart of faith to God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You become a child of God, and you can live the rest of your life doing the word and will of God and be saved for eternal life when Jesus comes to redeem the church from the earth. He's never going to set foot on earth again. That's what the Bible says. He can't be a priest on earth and be a priest like Melchizedek, because the priests on earth were people like Aaron. They were men. They died. Their priesthood ended and went to another generation. But he's a priest forever, so he'll never set foot on earth again. The earth and all the elements will be dissolved in the day of the Lord. They're going to melt away with fervent heat. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. If you're depending on that, ladies and gentlemen, you're missing the mark. You've been lied to. You've been tricked. You've been bamboozled. Know this. Tricks are for children. They're for kids. God doesn't want you to be a child in your faith. He wants you to be a mature man, steadfast in your heart, and stick with the word of God. That's what we recommend to you tonight. The truth. Only the truth. The naked truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's the only way you be saved. So if you want to do that, we've given you the instruction how to do it. You feel like you want to call Brother Williams, ask any questions, you can reach me at area code 832, phone number 275-0424. If you're international, you got to get the United States International Code, add that, you can call me. We can talk. God bless you. I pray that if there are any questions tonight, no one has indicated they wanted to ask one. If you have any questions, be with us on Thursday night. Thursday night is special. On Thursday night, we have a special broadcast, and it's all about answering your questions of faith and understanding the will of God. Come back to this radio broadcast on Thursday night, and we'll answer your questions. We promise you that we'll give you a Bible answer for your Bible questions. We'll give you scripture, book, chapter, and verse, where it's written in the Word of God. Now, if it's not written in the Word of God, it's not the truth. So you don't have to believe that. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Let us have evening. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for this opportunity to declare your word, your gospel, throughout the world. Thank you, dear God, for all of the brethren who are supporting and being a part of this global ministry, even those who are in mission fields in foreign countries who are there to preach your word according to the truth. True ministers of the Church of Christ around the world. We pray for every soul that is saved. We pray, dear God, for those who have not received pardon from sin, that they will be saved by obedience to your gospel. Thank you for the salvation and grace that you have given for man's edification, salvation, and justification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Be with us Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time in the United States of America, whatever that time is for you. Be on the call or be on your internet, and we'll be back with another Bible gospel broadcast that's intended to help you and to teach you and to allow you to know what God's will is so that you might save your soul from eternal damnation in hell. God bless you. Good night.